Hey, everybody, I'm Connor Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense is what we do on this and pod.
Do we, though? Do we?
Well, I like to think so.
Yes, we try. I'm Kimberly Adams. Right. Thank you for joining us this Thursday. We are going to do some news, and then we are going to wrap things up with some Make Me Smiles, which we're definitely going to need after what I want to talk about. So let's start with the news. And Kai, why don't you go first?
I'll go first. Mine's a quickie. You could choose gross domestic product today. You could choose this and that. The thing I want to do is just do a little context on one of the big stories of the day, which is the White House going to Congress saying, hey, we need another $33 billion for Ukraine. I almost said Afghanistan. How about that? Another $33 billion for Ukraine, right? Because this war is going to go on for a while. Blinken and the defense secretary were there this weekend. I mean, clearly the United States is digging in deeper weapon-wise. But, so yes, that. Here's the other part of this equation, though, and it is this. Since the invasion on the 24th of February, right, and this is research from the Center for Research on Energy and Clean Air, it shows that since the invasion on the 24th of February, Russia has basically doubled over a year ago the amount it has taken in oil and gas revenues, $66 billion. And look, I know Nat Gas was in the news this week with Poland and Bulgaria, and I know that the Europeans are largely making moves toward winning themselves off this geopolitical trap that they've gotten themselves into. But $66 billion is a lot of money, and it's going toward, in part, the Russian war machine. And I just think we ought to keep that in context. I just wanted to say that.
What, I don't understand. They're making more money off oil and gas than they did before the sanctions?
Yeah, because before the sanctions, oil was, what was it, $65, $70 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate today, $105. It's been as high as $130 a barrel.
Oh, right? I see.
So even though they're selling less, it's more expensive, and so they're getting more money.
Man, what a cycle. So the sanctions pushed up the price of oil, which made it so that Russia needed to sell less oil to make the same amount of money and more.
Yeah. How about that?
Okay. Well, I guess sort of related, oil, fossil fuels, and climate change. Two kind of related stories for me, and one of them is pretty grim and graphic, so just a flag if you have little ears listening. So the first one is, there was a scene, I guess it was maybe last week or the week before, from Good Morning Britain, which is basically a version of like the U.S. morning shows, but it's like a morning talk show in Britain where these people were on talking about this stop using oil activists, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this activist group called Just Stop Oil. And they've been like protesting and disrupting oil supply at oil terminals in England and trying to block the use of it. And so they had some of their activists on this show talking about the climate crisis and just how bad it was. And the hosts were being like really dismissive of the issues that they were bringing up, including at one point, one of the hosts asked the woman who's talking, well, aren't you being hypocritical because the dress that you're wearing is in some ways, you know, because of oil? And she's like, we're about to face global food shortages in a decade, and you're asking me about my dress? The reason I bring this up is because lots of people compared this scene to a scene in the movie Don't Look Up, where these scientists in the movie are trying to warn everybody about this comet that's about to destroy the planet, and nobody takes them seriously. So Mehdi Hassan, who has a show on MSNBC, actually lined those scenes up side by side so that you can see what the scene in the movie, which was, you know, a satirical movie, looked like, and the scene in real life. And it is uncannily similar. So a medium lighthearted take on the climate crisis, but still very, very serious. The woman who was, you know, the subject of this had an article, I think, in The Guardian where she talked about it. She actually hadn't seen the movie before all of this happened. And one of the points she made, she said, you know, if as many people as were sharing and tweeting about how this reminded them of the movie actually took action on the climate crisis, it might do something. All right. Now for the really grim take on this. Unless you had something to say on that first. Did you see it?
No. I got nothing to say. Go ahead, because this one's important too.
On Friday, to coincide with Earth Day, there's a man named Wynn Bruce who sat down outside of the Supreme Court and set himself on fire. And he later died of his injuries. And, you know, self-immolation has long been used as protest. And his father and many people who know him say that the reason that he did this was as a protest against inaction on the climate crisis. And the Washington Post has an obituary of him that's really powerful, and gets into his life, some of the traumas that he experienced, and what some of the things that led him there. And he's spoken out about the climate crisis in the past and, you know, obviously felt some connection to protesters of the past who use self-immolation as a way to demonstrate the seriousness of an issue, whether it be the Vietnam War or something else. It wasn't the first time he tried to demonstrate in this way.
Oh, is that right?
This time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
I didn't know
he
that.
Tried it before at the United Nations, but people were able to put him out beforehand. One of the lines in this is really strong because it talks about, I'm going to try to find this because I didn't scroll through. Basically, the idea that this is a really painful way to die. Extraordinarily painful way to die. And one of the reasons that this has been used as a form of protest is to demonstrate how serious people are about things.
Yeah, so effective, this, for sure.
Yeah, this gentleman was also Buddhist, and the center that he attended said that they didn't have any idea about his plans and they would have stopped him in any way possible. But in their statement, this is what it said. We have never talked about self-immolation, and we do not think self-immolation is a climate action. Nevertheless, given the dire state of the planet and the worsening climate crisis, we understand why someone might do that.
Wow.
This is, I think it was last month, that you had all these scientists like literally chaining themselves to banks and throwing, you know, blood red paint on the Spanish parliament. And it's, you know, that IPCC report that said we're basically at the point of no return. And this just made me wonder what stage of, you know, I don't even know how to say it. Like where are we? That this is what people feel like they need to do to draw attention to this. That's what I've got on that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful obituary and worth reading.
And we will we'll put it on the show page. And we're going to take a beat and make a really awkward turn here. But you know what? Hang on a minute. Let me back up.
Yeah.
Yes, the turn's going to be awkward, but the news that Kimberly just shared with us is really important, and that's what this podcast is about. Maybe you missed it in the fire hose of news, and we take 15 minutes and do this, and then we try to, you know, talk about other stuff. That's it. Sorry.
Brief and actually, before we make that turn, I also want to take this moment because very important topic. If you or somebody you know is in distress and needs help. They can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That number is 800-273-TALK. That's 800-273-8255. You can also text a crisis counselor at 741-741. So if you or anybody that need you or anybody else needs help, those resources are available. Yep. Now we can take the turn.
Now. There you go. All right, you go first.
Yes, since I brought us down, I'm going to try to bring us back up.
That's right.
with something, I guess, related to science and climate, sort of.
Yeah.
It's NASA. Yeah. Today was a pretty great moment for our ongoing obsession, the James Webb Space Telescope.
Mm-hmm.
Webb is now in full focus. They've done all of the little tweaks and maneuvers that they need to get the telescope ready to go. And now they're ready to start turning on the various instruments on the telescope. Why is this important? We've got new pictures, and the pictures are awesome. And they're, like, just really cool looking. And mm-hmm. this is, it shows all these different ways that they were, you know, checking the alignment, including, like, the Fine Guidance Center, and then all these other acronyms for machines that I don't know what they are. But it looks cool on the little sheet for NASA. And, I don't know what an NERSPEC is or a NERCAM.
No, of course not.
But the pictures below these acronyms are very lovely. So the link to that is also going to be on the show page. And I'm excited to see that now that they can turn on the instruments, what we're going to get next. And some of these instruments have, like, unique lenses, masks, filters, and so much science. Yay, science.
The incredible part is that it's all working. I mean, watch me jinx it, right?
I would,
but it's all working. It's a million miles away.
It's
incredibly complicated. A million, fine. You know what I mean.
yes.
But yeah, it's working. Are you kidding me?
It's working.
Right. Oh, hey, by the way, speaking of space stuff, are you the one who told me to watch The Expanse?
I think multiple people told you to watch The Expanse, but I also told you to watch Neverending Story, so I kind of dismiss anything I tell you in that regard.
You're killing me. I set it up to give you a compliment, and you knife me in the back.
Yes,
all right. Anyway, here comes mine. God, unbelievable. All right. So some props to Tony Wagner, who put this, or maybe it was Ellen. No, it was Tony, who put this in the newsletter, I think, yesterday. I saw it yesterday morning, and I was going to use it, but we don't do that on Wednesdays. But this is amazing. So if you've ever had an iPhone and autocorrect something on you, specifically certain very, very pungent words that you like to use perhaps a lot in your texting, and it translates it into something else, this little moment is for you. So let's hit that tape, and then I'll explain.
The technology you created has linked this poor creature
to a certain
obscenity.
It's a duck that they're showing a picture
of. What do you have to say to it?
I'm very, very sorry. I never meant it, but it's all my ducking fault.
So, the Wall Street Journal, the tech reporter for the Wall Street Journal, went and actually investigated why, just for instance, the iPhone always corrects that expletive to ducking. And it's great. And it's like 8 minutes long with the guy who wrote the software. And you should just check it out because, honestly, how frustrated have we all been? Because you're like, the phone knows where I am within a freaking meter, like every bleeping moment of my life. But it can't understand what I'm trying to say in this deck that I say all the time. Sorry.
I don't know what you're talking about, Kai. I never have this problem.
Anywho, it's on the webpage. 8 minutes of your time. It's really interesting. It's really interesting. And props to the journal for going and digging this one out, honestly.
Yes.
And there we go. We're done. Rant over.
This is like throw you under the bus multiple times today.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I was supposed to talk. That's it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow for Economics on Tap. And that is the day that we have a drink, talk about the news, play a game, and it's all streamed live on YouTube if the internet gods cooperate. And we would love for you to join us at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. That's 6:30 p.m. here on the East Coast where I am.
Which Kimberly and I haven't done. We haven't done a Friday in like 3 weeks, maybe even a month.
I know.
It's been probably longer. Bridget probably knows. Anyway, in the meanwhile, send us your thoughts, your questions for What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, comments on what you hear on this podcast or anything else you want to tell us about anything really. Our email is makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a message 508-UBSMART and we're out of here.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera and Mark A. Green with help from our intern, Tiffany Bowie. And today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe, who always gives us a warning before he hits the music at the top.
She does indeed. Bridget Bodner is the senior producer of this podcast and some others. Actually, the director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.